Ah, The Who. So we, you got the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, if you like this discussion with State Superintendent of Public Education, Dr. Jill Underley, you could download this. You can visit us, civicmedia.us, subscribe, share it, all of that stuff, because this is a really an educational, no pun intended, time that we can really learn about how all of this stuff works. We got one more segment here. With Dr. Underley, and we were talking on the other end about funding and all of that. And this topic is really heating up all across Wisconsin. And I think what people need to understand is that we do have the money to pay for public education, but the state legislature is choosing not to do it. And I had an episode a couple weeks ago with a dear friend, Laura McCoy, who's on the Green Bay Public School Board. And I was approached by an old administrator who was retired, and he gave me, if you don't mind, I'm going to read what he said, because we were talking about vouchers and how much it hurts Green Bay. And what they did was the public school passed a bill or whatever that's going to show on the Green Bay Public Schools tax bill, the people that are the taxes, they're going to show what is going to the public schools and what is going to vouchers. So people can see that all of this money that's taken off for education, it's not funding the Green Bay Area Public Schools as much as they think it is. Well, he said this, he said, Mark, vouchers do not cause public schools to lose money, no matter what Laura, you or anyone else says. There is a state aid deduction for the vouchers, but schools make up that deduction by increasing the property tax. Vouchers increase the property tax burden for property owners, but they do not reduce the total funds available to public school districts. All schools that have state aid reduction due to vouchers make up every penny of their revenue limit is increased by the same amount as the voucher state aid reduction. No money is lost. And then because we doubled down on it, the doubling down on insisting that vouchers cause school districts to lose money is just not true. I don't understand how someone can, especially someone who is in public education for so long, how can they come to that conclusion? I don't get that.
He's absolutely wrong. I mean, that's all I can think about when I hear that, you know, because it's one big contradiction.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, there's a state aid for deduction for vouchers. Yeah, that state aid is not going to public schools. So it's to the tune of $800 million a year, you know, and you
that's
think
a lot of money.
That money. It is. And it's going to cost some school districts more than others, but it costs literally every school district in Wisconsin. So that's $800 million that we are taking out of our funding for public schools and putting it into a private system. And so I guess the way that I would explain this, I think, to everybody is the best comparison I can make would be like a park analogy. All right. So let's say that imagine, you know, we have our public park system and that's how it works. We're going to use this as a school voucher kind of analogy, but we all pay taxes, right? And we're paying our taxes to keep our parks clean, safe, and open to everyone. So, you know, they're accessible to everybody. Everybody can use the park. If you are disabled, you know, there's ramps, there's programming for kids, there's all kinds of opportunities. The trails are manicured and maintained. The rails are up so everybody's safe, whatever it is. So whether it's the neighborhood park or whether it's a state park or the local basketball court, right? But then someone decides that they're going to open up a private park or a country club, as we called them where I came from, and they set up their own rules, okay? And they're going to say, at our club, our private park, we are going to decide who gets to get in. And we may not allow everyone to come in, you know, not everybody in the community could use it. You know, maybe if you've got some disabilities or maybe if your parents are of the same sex, whatever it might be. But now imagine that the state says, OK, so we're going to take money from the public park budget to help pay for the private park operations. And the public park system still exists, right? but it doesn't have the same amount of funding that it had before, because now it has maybe fewer staff, delayed maintenance, and maybe they have to close some buildings, right? Or facilities. And to keep those parks running, your city has to raise their property taxes. So you're paying twice. You're paying for the public park that everyone can use, and now you're also paying for a private park that you may never get to use. And that's what's happening with school vouchers in Wisconsin. The state takes money from the public school aid, which is money that is meant to serve all kids in Wisconsin, and sends it to the private schools, which doesn't have to serve everyone. And districts try to fill that gap, you know, because that $800 million is not going now into the public schools. And so the districts try to fill the gaps, you know, whether by trying to lower their costs and programs or raising additional revenue through referendum and raising local property taxes. But in the end, the taxpayers are paying more, right? Because they're not getting that money from the state and they're having to make up for it. And as a result, you have fewer children with access to the opportunities that money is funding. Public dollars should fund public schools, just like public park dollars should fund parks for everyone. So that's kind of my way of explaining it. That money is not going to the public schools, no matter what this former school administrator wants to say. It's not, and that's where it's kind of confusing, I think, with his statement.
Right, and I from what I understand, as we talked to Dr. Jill Underley, Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction, from what I understand, that number is potentially going next year to not just $800 million, but it's going to be like almost $970 million. Yep. Dollars.
Almost $1 billion,
right?
You know, almost $1 billion is what it's going to end up being. And because the caps on enrollment are coming off. Yeah.
And then, and the idea is, you know, oh, well, all they have to do is just go to referendum and then ask the taxpayers to pay them more. Like, how does that make sense?
It's not right. I mean, it's really, there's this inequity, right? And you see just driving down the highway and you see it in, you see it in rural as well as in urban, communities. I mean, the buildings are getting older, you know, and so they require more maintenance. And you also see it in the way that we, you know, we have teacher shortages. We're not able to keep up with teacher pay. You know, these are highly trained professionals, experts in their field, not just in child development, but also in content. And not everybody can do the job. And you have to pay professionals if you want to keep them. And so I think the last statistic I saw was this past spring when we did our teacher shortage report, we do one every year, that Wisconsin teachers are earning 20% less in real dollars than they were in 2010. So 20% less, you know, and you think about the cost of everything going up. Think about housing and childcare and the cost of a car. I mean, there's all these things that continue to go up. And if we can't get people to work in our schools because they can make more money, you know, and doing something else, it's we have to understand that these individuals are experts, but they also have families that they have to support too. And it's just not right.
What's the solution?
Well, I know that I get criticized often for saying this, but we really need to fund our schools. I mean, that's truly what it is. We can't support.
How would you get criticized for that?
Well, I do. I get it from, you know, mostly the right. Because they're like, oh, her answer is always more money. But it is, right? Like,
well, and it's not more money. It's just taking the money that should be there.
Well, that's right. You know, like the $800 million should not be going to private schools.
Right.
It should stay with public schools, but it takes money, right, to improve buildings. It takes money to give people raises. It's like, that's truly, it takes money to fill the gas tanks of buses. You know, it's really, it's just the way it works. Unfortunately, you know, we're a human resources heavy industry. And but it's also not just on the backs of our schools alone. I mean, I think about, you know, our communities. We need more affordable housing. We need affordable childcare. We need, you know, a lot of things that just kind of help families get through it. Right. You know, like you can even look at how we operate schools and making sure kids are ready to learn, making sure kids have access to healthy meals that are free or just heavily subsidized. I mean, they're required to be in school. And then we're going to say, oh, sorry, we're not going to give you any food. You know, it's like, it's just so weird. Like when you break it down, just the absurdity of it all that we tolerate it.
Yeah. And it's not, it's, that's a pretty clear A to B line that you can draw, you know, of how, what the fix is. I'm hopeful that, you know, maybe at these midterms we can change some things. And look at how we are not funding the public school. And what sucks is that, like, you know, voucher and charter schools this past budget got a huge bump in funding.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Public schools some, got nothing.
Yeah. And there's some examples where a voucher to a high school student is worth more than what we would give a school, yeah, a public school high school. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, I know. And like you said, you know, and like I've said, you know, it's that money that we're putting into vouchers and private schools, that truly belongs to our public schools. And we need to make sure that it gets back to them so that they can continue to provide these services that serve all kids. And I think back, you know, it's like our public schools are amazing.
Yeah.
And you look at the type of students we are graduating. I mean, they're going off and doing incredible things. And I know, like, James Lovell just recently passed away. He was a Milwaukee Public Schools grad,
right.
You know? And it's like, and then he went to University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yeah.
And then he was in, like, the ROTC. And then he went to the Naval Academy. And then he became an astronaut, you know, Apollo 13. It's like, holy cow. Like, you can read story after story of amazing things our public school students are doing. And it's like, we're just going to pull the rug out from under them, right? And
right.
So you're on your own, kid. We're going to pull up that ladder. Somebody invested in me, but damn it, you're going to be able to have to do this on your own.
Right.
And it's like,
cool. Yeah. And the idea that in public schools, everybody gets a shot, that is not the same thing in a voucher or private school.
Right. Yeah. So, and then I think, you know, you said the other thing is like, we have to look at who's representing us, right? We have to make sure that we are sending people into our assembly and our state senate who are public school supporters.
Yes.
Like, they will invest in the future of the state, because we are, you know, there's so many case studies across the nation. When you are divesting in public schools, the quality of life in your state is going to go down.
Yep.
The number of individuals who want to move to your state and start businesses or start their families is going to go down.
Right.
The overall health of your economy and the health of the individuals personally will also decline.
Dr. Jill Underley, thank you so very much for your time. I really appreciate it. We could go on for another hour, and I hope you do come back.
Forever.
Well, let's have you back and do that. I would love that. So thank you so much. On the Rational Revolution, I am Mark Becker. We'll see you the next segment.